Chapter 56, verse 1 reads, "Thus says Yahweh, maintain justice, do what is right, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance be revealed." Well, there's a couple of terms in there that we need to just look at to try to understand. Maintain justice. The word used for justice in the Hebrew is mishpat. And it basically means decisions made by those administrating justice that are correct, right according to law, and just. So it's looking at a law court particularly, because justice is a big issue. In other words, getting the right judgment when you go with your, as a plaintiff, to the court, that decisions are made are according to justice. Do what is right. What is right in the Hebrew here is tzedakah. In fact, the word deliverance at the end here, you see where it is? That's also tzedakah. So it's used twice in the one sentence. And that means acting in a way that's appropriate to one's right place in society. So it's actually quite a relative term. If you're the king, you have to do what is right for a king. If you're a wife, you do what is right for a wife. If you're a husband, for a husband. If you're a parent, as a parent. So it's quite specific, and it won't be all the same for everybody. As a governor or a public servant, you have certain obligations, so you do what is right according to your position in the society. So that's a very social, so it's not individual ethics here, it's social and defined by your position in society. And you couldn't stray from your position. So if you're a slave, you're a slave. You know, that kind of thing. So acting in a way that's appropriate to one's right place in society. It's related to the declaration of divine will, including the covenant, and is concerned with establishing, maintaining, and restoring this order, dike in the Greek, the divine organized order for the world. Doing what is right results in, and this is the shalom, that's their word, peace, meaning everything is the way it should be, harmony. The focus was very much on law and on the social effects of behavior, as the best definition I can give you of that, tzedakah. A tzaddik, that is a person who lives tzedakah, a just person, is a person of chesed. Chesed means love, but it's basically love means in the Bible generally in this sense, means carrying out your promised commitments. That's what chesed means. It's not a feeling word at all. It's obedience and fidelity and doing what you're supposed to do, doing what is right. A tzaddik is a person who is carrying out his or her obligations and trusting in Yahweh and keeping to Yahweh's ways, which are all told you in the Torah. And the disciples of the prophet preachers of the exile were concerned with the prevailing absence of tzedakah. The priests weren't doing what the priests should do, the prophets weren't doing what the prophets should do, and the governor's not doing what the governor should do, and the people are not doing what they should be, that kind of thing. So it's quite critical of their community at this level. So, therefore, the text again, maintain justice is their keynote theme. Do what's right, and the promise is that God's salvation will come and God's deliverance, God's tzedakah, God's fidelity to God's promises will be revealed. This opening verse takes us to the heart of one of the most urgent concerns of the post-exilic disciples of the servant prophets of the exile. And isn't it the most urgent concern for us still and for every generation of Christians? If this isn't our key concern, then we're missing. We're substituting religious behaviour for justice. Never works, because I was hungry and you gave me to eat. I don't have to read all that again. So in this concern for social justice, they're in touch with a perception that is at the heart of the religion of Israel. Yahweh is the one who hears the cry of the poor, who redeems people from slavery. By definition, slavery in Egypt. Yahweh was the name given to the God who led Moses and the people out of Egypt to the promised land. So when you use the word Yahweh, you've got to think justice and redemption from slavery. Yahwism is real only when it expresses in sharing Yahweh's response to the poor. I've noticed in our parish the people who organise the readings, I'll have to do something about it, I'm not sure what yet, they keep using the word God where it has Yahweh. And that's actually not good enough, because God is God. It's a bit abstract. When you use Yahweh, you immediately think Moses, Egypt, exile, freedom. It's got a whole lot of nuances that the word God can mean, well, anything you make it to mean, really. So it's a much more precise idea. Yet the church is saying, be very careful and sensitive about using the word Yahweh, because Jewish people find that difficult. Whatever reason, I know the reasons, but we don't go into it now. So it's often translated the Lord, and possibly that's the best. But the Lord has another problem attached to it, that it's a male term of a position in society which Yahweh doesn't have. So you've got another male term coming in unnecessarily. So my suggestion to people is say our saving God, or something like that. But you have to find your own solution to that, or invent another word. Thus, this perhaps, sharing Yahweh's response to the poor, more than anything else, provides the glue that keeps all the parts of the Isaiah scroll together. So it's no accident that the introductory chapter focuses so strongly on this theme of justice. There are three key turns: Mishpat, Tzedakah, and salvation, Yeshua. Justice is shown especially in care for those who are least able to care for themselves. And I'm taking you now through the Isaiah Ben Amos and see the link of justice right through to where we've got to. Okay? So, Isaiah Ben Amos, chapter 1, verse 17. Seek justice, right at the beginning of the scroll. Rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. Justice includes access of the powerless to true judicial process. Isaiah speaks, that's Isaiah Ben Amos, speaks out against those who, this is chapter 5, 23, who acquit the guilty for a bribe and deprive the innocent of their rights. Justice is the primary responsibility of rulers and governments. Isaiah Ben Amos, back in chapter 16, verse 5, chapter 28, verse 6, and chapter 32, verse 1, I'll read them to you. It reads, "A throne shall be established in steadfast love in the tent of David, and on it shall sit in faithfulness a ruler who seeks justice and is swift to do what is right." Chapter 28, Yahweh will give a spirit of justice to the one who sits in judgment. That's the king or administrators of the law under him. And chapter 32, with all Isaiah Ben Amos, or some of its later editions put in that part of the scroll, a king will reign in righteousness, princes will rule in justice. The Isaiah school of the exile have the same perspective on justice. Here's Isaiah 42, verse 1. We did it 2 weeks ago. The text we just talked about a bit earlier. "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights." And as I suggested to you, that was being addressed to the community, the poor, broken, exiled community who'd lost their home, lost everything, and were in exile, and they're being encouraged to have hope again, because God's going to restore them. All right. "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one, my soul delights." And they've been told by Isaiah, God's not happy with them. And now the disciples are saying, God delights in you because you've suffered enough for what happened. "I have put my spirit on him." Why? "He will bring forth justice," here it is again, "to the nations. He won't cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he won't break. A dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. Here it is again. He won't grow faint or be crushed. He'll be gentle, but he'll be persistent until he's established justice in the earth. And the coastlands are waiting for his Torah. Three times in the one little three or four verses, you've got this word justice. This is the ground of their belief that Yahweh is just. And I'm reading again from the first part of the Isaiah scroll, chapter 26, verse 8. In the paths of your judgment, Yahweh, we wait for you. Your name and your renown are the soul's desire. My soul yearns for you in the night. My spirit within me earnestly seeks you. When your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. When your judgments are here, in other words, when people follow your judgment in the administration of justice. And in verse chapter 51, this exilic, Yahweh waits to be gracious to you, therefore he will rise up to show mercy to you. For Yahweh is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. Sorry, that's verse 30, chapter 30. Chapter 51 is, that's Isaiah, that first one. This is the exile period. Listen to me, my people. Give heed to me, my nation. For a teaching will go out for me and my justice for a light to the peoples. Continuing this theme, doing what is right, tzedakah, righteousness, in the social sphere is central to justice. So I'll read to you from firstly chapter 5 verse 7 from the first part of the Isaiah scroll. The vineyard of Yahweh of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his pleasant planting. I did this with you, showing you the Hebrew. He expected tzedakah, justice, but he got tzu'akka, bloodshed, it's translated. I think it would be better cover up, or someone else came up with a better.
Injustice, even.
Yeah, it could be that, yeah. I expected righteousness, but I found a cover up. Chapter 28, verse 17. I will make justice the line, righteousness the plummet. Hail will sweep away a refuge of lies. This is all Isaiah. Chapter 32, verse 16. Justice will dwell in the wilderness and righteousness abide in the fruitful field. Chapter 33. Yahweh is exalted. He dwells on high. He fills Zion with justice and righteousness. You can obviously see what I'm doing. I hope you kind of, it's just an overwhelming kind of list of but you can see the massive amount of texts that are focusing in on justice. If the people do what is right, they will not avoid divine, if they do not do what is right, they will not avoid divine judgment. There will be a day of reckoning when the power of the oppressor will be taken from them. This will be the day of deliverance, of tzedakah, God's righteousness, for those who were not treated justly. Zion shall be redeemed by justice, says Isaiah ben Amoz in chapter 1, verse 27, by mishpat, by decisions made that are according to the truth. Those in her who repent will be redeemed by tzedakah, right, doing what is right. And finally, for this first half, the other word, the verb hoshia, help, it's a verb, help or save or deliver, and the noun yeshua, which means help, salvation, deliverance, victory, from the Hebrew root yasha, speak of the presence and action of Yahweh who answers a cry for help and who comes powerfully to his people to help them in their trouble. Yeshua, of course, is Jesus' name. He'll be called Yeshua, Jesus, because he is the one through whom Yahweh saves. And Joshua, same name. The accent is on Yahweh's bringing divine help to us in our difficulties rather than on protecting us from having to face them. So God mightn't protect Jesus from the crucifixion. In fact, he didn't, because God isn't intervening, stopping Pilate do what he does and the high priest do what he does and the soldiers do what they do and the crowd do what they do and you do what you do and I do what I do. God isn't running around stopping sin, obviously. But God is there with Jesus in that painful, human, sinful crucifying of Jesus. He's there with Jesus, he's there with Mary, he's there with John, the beloved disciple. He's there with Pilate and Pilate's wife and Herod and Judas and everybody. But some are listening and some aren't. Thank God Jesus was the main one listening. Here's a quote from Exodus chapter 14 now. As Pharaoh drew near, the Israelites looked back, and there were Egyptians advancing on them. This is from Exodus. In great fear, the Israelites cried out to Yahweh. And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm. The salvation that Yahweh will accomplish for you today, you will see. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you'll never see again. Yahweh will fight for you. You have only to keep still. Thus Yahweh saved Israel that day from the Egyptians." So that's in the big story, and you'll find in Isaiah, we've already seen it, 45:8, etc., 46:12, 51:6, a reference back to that Yahweh's salvation coming into people's lives.